Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very senior professional from the world of academia, from Michigan, USA, Dr. Srinivas Talluri. Sri, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Talluri is the Hoagland Metzler Endowed Professor at the Broad College of Business, Michigan State University. He's a professor of supply chain management. He's a fellow at the Decision Sciences Institute, and he's an editor-in-chief of the Decision Sciences Journal. So Sri, after such an incredible career, let me start by asking you about your own journey in brief.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It's a fantastic opportunity to connect with you and your followers here on the podcast. So I'm from South India, and I spent much of my childhood there. And my dad worked for India Tobacco Company. He had a PhD in chemistry, and my mother was a lawyer by training. So the ITC living style had a huge impact on me with the travels and tennis and billiards and so on. But our family was very much into education. So I came to the U.S. in fall of 1990 to pursue a master's degree in industrial and manufacturing systems engineering. And while working on my master's, I really got interested in the broad area of inventory optimization and wanted to enhance my knowledge in this space. And I was very inclined towards research. But at the same time, I was more interested in the practical side of things than focusing on theoretical aspects. So that's when I made the transition to move to College of Business. This is after my master's, to pursue a doctoral degree in operations management, which of course is very closely related to supply chains. So I still continue to do work that's at the intersection of engineering and business. So completed my doctoral degree in 1996. And I had a short stint at a primarily teaching institution, Fairleigh Dickinson University, great school in the North Jersey area. But I always wanted to move to a research school. That was where my passion was. So the opportunity came up for me to get to Michigan State. And we are the top supply chain department in the country for 10 odd years, to 12 odd years now. Clearly, right? I mean, that jumped significantly helped me in my career, and the rest is history, And the main thing for me is working really hard to make the transition from a teaching institution to a research school. That was really the key for my career.
Amazing. So let me start by asking you, that I remember when I had started working and I did work for your dad. He was my boss at some stage also in ITC. But in 1979, when I joined ITC, the supply chain term didn't exist. It was purchase manager. And the purchase manager would be responsible to ensure whatever the job was. I wanted to get your perspective, Sri, on how has the supply chain evolved that it has now become such a critical part of every organization?
Yeah, very, very good question. So when I was doing my PhD, supply chain, the term supply chain did not exist as well. It was mainly, people called it purchasing, people called it operations management, and some people called it logistics. But I think what basically differentiates supply chain from each of these functional areas is the holistic view of the network, all the way from cradle to grave, from the standpoint of purchasing your components and parts and the production and distribution of the product to the end customer. How do you manage all these complex set of activities?
Mm.
That is what supply chain management is.
Mm.
So it differentiates itself from these silos of just focusing on purchasing or just focusing on operations,
mm.
in that you're looking at the intersection across these different functional areas,
mm.
and how that is able to create value for the customer.
All right.
How do you make the system efficient so mm. that it's a win-win situation for all the parties within this system.
Mm.
So I think that's how it kind of migrated into viewing the system in a more holistic manner, as opposed to focusing on the individual components of the system.
Very interesting. And what would you say are some of the biggest challenges being faced by supply chains today? Because every world leader is talking supply chains these days.
Right, right. Yeah, so, to me, right, one of the biggest challenges with what happened with the pandemic,
mm.
Is managing risks in supply chains, because supply chains have become extremely complex and geographically dispersed and with high levels of density,
mm.
in terms of the number of nodes and arcs that you have. If you look at a company like GM, they've got thousands of suppliers.
Mm.
And we've been sourcing internationally from India, China, and so on,
mm.
Because again, for cutting down costs, right? So one of the main issues during the pandemic was that this lack of visibility into higher tiers within the supply chain.
Mm.
Certainly the focal companies have significant knowledge about what's happening in their first tier suppliers, but if you look at upstream, there is very little information.
Mm.
And that is what created havoc during the pandemic, really, because if a disruption happens somewhere, upstream, a small supplier that's located in, let's say, China, India, whatever the case may be, how does that propagate to the system, and what kind of impact that has on different parts of the supply network, which has created all kinds of delays and disruptions, and not able to get the product in time, mm-hmm. to the customer. So that is, of course, one of the key issues. So how do you improve this coordination within the supply chain?
Mm-hmm.
So using supply chain contracts, and then looking at effective information sharing mechanisms that can help in better coordination across different parts of the network, and having that information from upstream and downstream processes,
mm-hmm.
To be able to coordinate the system better.
Mm-hmm.
And a related challenge, I think, which is what we're seeing right now, is also relates to this complexity, but the geopolitical risks. For example, the war in Ukraine, has increased prices,
mm-hmm.
of several commodities like oil and gas, okay. fertilizers, food products, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And also increased freight costs, container shortages, and other examples like the trade war that has been happening between the US and China, and Brexit. These are all the mm. different challenges, because mm. Given that the supply chains are geographically dispersed, as, mm. as I said,
mm.
Anything that happens across the different parts of the world would have an adverse impact.
Well said, well said. There is also the advent of technology. I remember in the old days, it was, if you got a little spreadsheet going for the purchase manager, it was a big improvement in technology. But now there is this whole concept of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and so many other types of technology. So my question is, how, in your opinion, is technology changing or impacting supply chains? And what do you see as the future of supply chains with respect to technology?
Yeah, the technological investments in supply chains has been tremendous. And going back to the issue that I talked about in terms of these macro level disruptions and lack of visibility. One of the things right now in terms of supply chain technologies is creating this digital twin.
Mm.
So basically a supply chain digital twin is a digital replication of the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And companies can use this technology to basically optimize their supply chain design and planning and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can test the efficacy of, let's say, a different type of what-if analysis kind of a thing, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of if a disruption happens at a specific plant, if a supplier were to go down, mm-hmm. what kind of impact does this have on the supply chain, and how does this propagate through the network, which will help you in thinking about vulnerable parts within the network, and how do you fortify these different parts so that you can appease the impact of a disruption. And some good examples here, you know, Nike has been using this type of technology, and Renault Group has been using this type of technology.
Mm.
And there are others also. And again, you know, I'm just giving you a snapshot of a few technologies here.
Mm.
And I talked about this supply chain visibility issue. So if you look at vendors like Project 44 and Forkites, they're providing this supply chain visibility software.
Mm.
And again, to have visibility into, you know, higher tiers within the network, so that companies can actually understand where their product is, the exact location of their product within the supply chain, any congestion in the system,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you have this better visibility so that you can make more, you know, efficient decisions.
Mm.
And of course, you know, other technologies, as you pointed out, you know, AI-based systems for, let's say, you know, inventory and optimizations,
mm-hmm.
and blockchain technologies for, you know, visibility again.
Correct.
Basically, there are certainly things of the, you know, future in terms of managing these complex supply chain systems. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I think one of the challenges is that, technology is just a means to an end.
Correct.
But we need actually people that are trained, to be able to manage these technologies and interpret the results that come out of these, systems. So moving forward, I think there is a skill shortage.
Mm.
And how do you kind of develop that type of skill set which companies can actually utilize in terms of managing and operating these technologies? Because we know those technologies cannot work in silos.
Correct.
And we need that human technology type of an interface. So I think that is the challenging part. Of course, there are a lot of pros to it.
Mm.
But you need to have the skill set, you know, in terms of the labor to be able to work and leverage the benefits from these technologies.
Mm. Fascinating. My next question to you is about sustainability and, you know, ethical considerations when it comes to supply chain. I'd love to get your perspective on how can companies balance sustainability and ethical considerations when they talk about their supply chains.
I mean, you know, as we know, from a sustainability perspective, companies focus on the triple bottom line, that is, okay, business, you know, environmental aspects and social aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But of late, the social and environmental considerations are becoming more critical, mm-hmm. So just give me a minute so that I can mm-hmm. stop this. I apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the social and environmental, you know, considerations are becoming more and more critical.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I talked about the lack of visibility into higher tiers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming really difficult for companies to evaluate how ethical their sourcing strategies are.
Mm-hmm.
So the obvious concern here is that, you know, how are the products being produced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is producing them? And what type of materials are being used?
Mm-hmm.
So this ethical sourcing requires a better visibility into supply chains. And as we talked about it, the technology can facilitate the visibility and flag perhaps risky and non-compliant, you know, suppliers. Also, the supplier relationship management software that companies use is able to capture, you know, information on supplier capabilities, certifications, which can also play an important role in this context. But from my standpoint, there has been a lot of work that's been done with respect to business and, you know, environmental sustainability aspects. But what is important right now is pushing the frontier on the social aspects. And, you know, this basically, you know, includes, you know, working conditions, or, you know, are you sourcing from, you know, sweatshops in China or, you know, India, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, from across the world, right? So those kinds of things have become very, very important for companies to kind of manage their supply base in such a way that they have ethical sourcing, you know, practices, better working conditions, making sure that the product is safe to use and be experienced, you know, for example, issues like lead in toys and so on, and some poor product designs, which were, you know, harmful. So I think those are some of the important things, you know, in terms of considering not only the environmental and business side of it, but moving more towards the social side of it.
Great response. Thank you. My next question is on, you know, on how can companies improve their supply chain resilience? You know, there's so much uncertainty. If you look at India, car or chips are not available, electronic chips. You look at some other part of the world, something else is not available. So I'd love to get your perspective on how can organizations or supply chain leaders improve their resilience and prepare for unexpected disruptions?
Yeah. So that's an excellent question. In fact, it's very close to my heart because most of my research is in this space.
Okay.
And so there are a couple of things that I'd like to point out here. One of the things that is important for companies, you know, especially after the disruption, is that carefully considering the trade-off between cost and risk. One of the things that has happened and why companies were adversely affected because of the pandemic is that there is not much of slack in the system, and companies were moving more towards a cost-focused supply chain.
Correct.
So for example, if you're sourcing from low-cost countries, not having alternative sources of supply, not having enough flexibility in the system. So when there is very little slack and a disruption happens, it becomes increasingly difficult for us to be able to respond and quickly rebound. So some of our work in this space has talked about, you know, looking at these cost and risk trade-offs in designing robust and resilient supply chains. And the other thing that we also looked at is the different type of mitigation strategies that companies ought to, you know, consider. So here, I'd like to point out to two broad, you know, categories of mitigation strategies. One is the redundancy base, which is having, for example, you know, excess inventories in certain critical parts of the network. Or, for example, having an alternative sources of supply. And the flexibility-based strategies are, you know, quick setups, being able to reconfigure your production quickly so that if a disruption happens, you're able to move it to a different production line, or you're able to move it to an alternative, you know, part of your network. So having these contingency, you know, plans in place can help companies in managing these disruptions better. And the other thing is that, which we extensively worked on, is to understand the network topology in terms of what types of networks can be more robust. One of the important findings in this context, and we worked with a a Honda center console network, where we looked at different types of supply chain networks. And the key result, again, you know, without going into all the mathematics or the models that we looked at, is that while the probability of a disruption, you know, happening in a complex network is high, for the simple reason that you've got a variety of nodes and arcs.
Correct.
When a disruption actually happens, because of the alternative paths and the redundant nodes that you have in the network, it is easier to kind of rebound. But if you have a cost-focused supply chain where you've got very few nodes and arcs without too much of slack in the system, well, the probability of disruption is going to be low because it's a very streamlined type of network. The ability with which you can rebound is going to be difficult for companies to do if you're operating on a very streamlined type of a network. So I think it's important to, again, going back to that cost versus risk trade-off, kind of looking at what are your priorities. You know, are you cost focused? Are you focused more on responsiveness? You focus more on flexibility. Of course, a company has to basically decide what its core competencies are or what its priorities are, and based on that, to come up with a network design that is going to help in this process. And finally, I'd like to also talk about the aspects of ripple effects in disruptions. Because it's not where the disruption happens in a specific network. The critical part is also how the disruption propagates through the network.
Right.
So this is like, there is a probability that a specific node gets disrupted. Let's say a supplier or a plant or a warehouse, you know, whatever the case may be. But what is the transfer probability that this actually affects, you know, other parts of the network, you know, which we call as the ripple effect. And we have run some, you know, simulations based on looking at large complex networks and, you know, evaluate how the risk or this disruption propagates through this network, which allows us to, you know, identify vulnerable parts in the network so that you can come up with appropriate mitigation strategy.
Well said.
So I think a lot of you know, companies are able to do this. Again, you know, I talked about Nike, I talked about Nord Group, mainly focusing on this digital twin type of technologies, you know, to be able to manage and mitigate these types of disruptions.
Wonderful. You know, actually, I can keep talking to you, but we have a restriction on time. So I'm going to ask you my last question, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your deep understanding of supply chains, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away if they are contemplating a career in the supply chain world?
Yeah, I mean, first, from a personal standpoint, you know, I'd like to say that based on my journey for young scholars, you know, I would like to say that really it is not where you start, it is where you end. Now, I started at a small school, you know, I talked about this, you know, Fairly Dickinson, with limited resources. I mean, great, you know, institution, great, you know, people. I love, you know, working with them. But it was very hard, you know, to kind of make the transition from, you know, a school that demands, you know, a significant amount of teaching to a research active school. So one thing that I'd like to say is that, you know, anything is possible if you put your heart and soul, you know, into it. And my dad would often say to me when I was young that, you know, there is no shortcut for success.
Absolutely.
You have to work hard.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you don't put in the effort, it's not going to be, you know, possible. Now, with respect to the supply chain, you know, takeaways, the importance of risk management and supply chains is here to stay. Right? Mainly because of this complexity, density, and geographically dispersed supply chains that we are dealing with right now. And there are many types of macro and micro level risks, social and environmental risks that we talked about, geopolitical risks that, you know, different parts of the world, you know, is facing. So the onus is on us to actually develop strategies and mechanisms to counter against these different types of risks. And the other interesting thing that you brought up is in the space of sustainability. And again, I'd like to underscore the point that the initial emphasis has been on business and, you know, environmental, you know, aspects in that triple bottom line. But companies are certainly increasing be concerned about social issues in supply chain management. Right. We talked about ethical sourcing, workplace conditions, health and well-being of workers, diversity and inclusion. That's become a big part.
Correct.
So I think moving forward, we will definitely see a lot more work in this space. So these would be the three
amazing
takeaways that I can think of.
Fascinating. And on that note, and your three amazing lessons, one which is, I think, so powerful and so important, where you end is more important than where you start. I think that is such a powerful lesson that you've given. Second, you talked about how important risk management is and it's how important it is to develop strategies to be able to mitigate a lot of these risk management challenges. And the third one you spoke about was sustainability and social issues, which are important. And therefore, we have to make sure supply chain leaders, supply chain employees, supply chain workers start to understand how critical this particular aspect is. Thank you, Sri, for talking to me about your amazing journey. Thank you for talking to me about supply chains and so many different aspects of supply chain. And of course, I must end by saying that I must pay my respects to your father, Dr. T.D. Prasad Rao, who I had the privilege of working with for many, many years in ITC. And at some stage, I don't remember the years, but he was my boss as well. Thank you again for speaking to me and good luck to you.
No, thank you so much, Ashutosh. You know, it's been a pleasure and pleasantly surprised to have this, you know, connection with my dad. So it's really, really great. It's a great honor to chat with you and I look forward to connecting with you soon again.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.